All right, welcome back to the KNBR pregame show. Bill Lasky alongside my buddy Kerry Crowley as we welcome in the man who leads it off every morning for KNBR. Let's bring in Adam Copeland. Good afternoon, Adam. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, guys. Happy Father's Day, Marty. Happy Father's Day, Bill. And Kerry, what's up?
Well, Adam, Kerry wrote just a great article on the Mercury News this week about the 10 years, 10 famous moments of Brandon Crawford. I know you got to read it and talk to Kerry a little bit about it. I want to know what your thoughts are about Brandon Crawford and how much excitement Kerry brought to this article.
Well, it's cool because I think it's sort of rare that a player who's around with a franchise for this long becomes, not that he becomes more beloved, but that he's gotten better and better and better as he's gotten older. Like, I remember when he came up and he was just a young kid, and it was sort of like, all right, this is going to be a guy who's a glove-first shortstop. They didn't project he was going to be this offensive juggernaut. And then he became a really solid hitter, and he became a clutch hitter, and he became a key cog in the world championship runs for the last two of them at least. And then, you know, it seemed like, okay, we're at the back end of this era now where the guys who were the core of that World Series team, you've lost all the starting pitchers now with Bumgarner gone. The core four was gone. Then it was just sort of down to Posey and Crawford and Belt. And Brandon Belt is, I think the best way to describe would be he's polarizing, I think, among Giants fans. But Brandon Crawford has just sort of been steady as she goes. So when there's a guy who's from the area who has continued to have big moments, and Kerry and I were actually sitting in the bullpen a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about writing this article, and we were throwing some moments around. And one that comes to mind, one of my favorite Crawford moments, was opening night. It would have been not opening day, like first day of the season, would have been the first home series. And I want to say, was it 2017? Or 2018, Kerry and Bill, Trevor Brown, the backup catcher for the Giants. I guess it's Ross Stripling is making his big league debut against the Giants opening night. And Trevor Brown breaks up a no-hitter against Ross Stripling or against maybe a reliever after Stripling gets pulled out of a no-hitter in the ninth inning. And then Brandon Crawford walks it off the other way in the tenth inning. So I think the Giants got two hits that night or three hits that night. One of them was a walk-off solo home run from Brandon Crawford. And I don't know, it's just he's been clutch. He's great with the glove. I think we're all excited that in a contract year, he's continuing to put up big numbers because he's an easy guy to root for.
Hey, Copes, you've talked a lot on this show about growing up a Giants fan and what it's been like to come to games at Oracle Park through the years. I want to ask you about your relationship with your dad in baseball and on Father's Day, how your dad has influenced your life as a Giants fan and, you know, coming to games and what he did for you growing up.
You know what's sort of funny about that is my love for baseball is probably more rooted in my relationship with my mom than my dad. But what I think is unique about that is that my dad had to embrace baseball as a guy who was not necessarily the biggest baseball fan because I was in love with the game. And I remember being a kid and, like, him throwing to me in the backyard and pitching to me and trying to teach me things. And I can also remember the moment that he and I were at a baseball game and I had to explain something to him as a kid that I was like, wow, he didn't know that. And then you sort of realize, wow, your parents sort of adapt to hobbies that you have or things that you love. Because, you know, you're a kid, you're growing up, you fall in love with certain things. So I think it was always cooler that my dad and I had a connection around baseball where he asked me questions about it to learn more about it because it would be a bond between us. And so a specific moment I can actually think of is I was probably 8 years old or 9 years old, and it was the World Series 1997, Marlins and the Cleveland Indians. And I had been hanging out at my buddy Jonathan's house in San Leandro. My dad came and picked me up, and he said, we're going home. We got to watch the World Series. We got to root against the Florida Marlins. And that was the first time I ever became aware of, like, money in pro sports being a thing, where my dad was saying to me, we're not going to let this team who bought a championship, the Florida Marlins, we're not rooting for that team. So kind of a funny moment in history that my dad was all aggravated about the 97 Marlins trying to buy a championship, when in hindsight he had no tie to them whatsoever. But my tie to baseball, definitely closer to my mom, but it's always been cool and unique with my dad just based on how he's come to me to learn more things about it.
You know, Adam, jumping back into this Crawford article that Kerry wrote, he really talked about his wife, talking about some of the things she learned about Brandon all the way back into UCLA days. And also his dad, he talked about his dad a lot, about being the focus of, you know, not just baseball, but football he played in high school and the bond that he had with his father. How important do you think it is when you look back to your dad and your stories and all the different things you grew up about? Tell us a little bit about what you think Brandon Crawford and his dad mean to each other.
Well, clearly his dad is a big sports fan too, right? I mean, that's why we've got that photo of him in the Chronicle from being a little kid at Candlestick Park saying, please don't go Giants, right? As his parents were taking him to the yard. So, you know, that connection, I think, is obviously that connection between them is rooted in sports. But it's also, I think, evidence of like what we talk about with youth sports today, where it's a big deal for kids to play different sports, to be maybe not the best player in every sport that they play, to learn how to be a teammate and play a different role in some of these things. And I think when you've got a dad like that, or an adult figure in your life like that, who will guide you and support you and will take you to those events and take you to those games and talk to you about those moments when you were stressed or when you failed and then you got picked up. Like I think about specifically, maybe even more so than baseball, I used to run track when I was a kid for my elementary school, and my dad used to drive me to the track meets on Sundays, and we used to listen to Frank Sinatra, and I love Frank Sinatra. First time I'd ever heard it was my dad playing the song That's Life for me after we lost a race or lost a relay race or something, and him explaining the meaning of that song. But it's moments like that. It's not necessarily the sporting event. It's how those connections are built, I think, throughout your family. It's sports build character, right? They and I think being a fan of some of these sports and some of these games builds character, but I think it's what you can pull away and what you can learn from. And that's why I like when you see Little League dads getting upset and making it about themselves. It's like, this isn't what this is about, man. It's about learning how to be the best at something, to be the worst at something, to be a role player, to be a supportive teammate. And I think you can genuinely take lessons from life out of youth sports like that if it's done the right way. And I think Brandon Crawford and his dad's relationship may be good evidence of that based on what we read in Kerry's piece.
Really well said, Adam. And I had the chance to sit with Mike Crawford for a few innings this week and watching Brandon play. And, you know, it's so interesting to see that Brandon Crawford makes it to 10 years, gets to the all-time record at the shortstop position in San Francisco, 1,326 games, and he's got a chance to keep it going and potentially be back in a Giants uniform next year. Who would have thought that in 2019 when Brandon Crawford was really going through it at the plate and even the second half of the 2018 season? I mean, did you ever see something like this coming?
I really didn't, and it's funny because when you think about like which of the three guys, Posey, Belt, and Crawford, if you'd asked me before the season like which was the most likely to return, I probably would have ranked them, and I know that this is not the way everybody sees it. I'd view Brandon Belt as the type of player that Farhan and Scott and Gabe Kapler really like. Gabe Kapler's called Brandon Belt an assassin in the past at the plate. And then you look at Buster Posey and you go, okay, this guy was the cornerstone of the franchise. It'd be really tough, even if not on a short deal, that and even if Buster weren't having the year he's having right now, to say, okay, that's just it for Buster Posey. So I still would have ranked him second. Brandon Crawford would have been, of the three, the least likely, in my opinion, to return at the start of this year, just based on the free agent class that's out there. I think, Kerry, you had a bunch of notes at the start of this year, and I can't remember exactly what they were, but they were about 32-plus age shortstops putting up numbers or making all-star games at the position of shortstop, and it just doesn't happen across Major League's history or across baseball's history. Plus, you see all the free agents that are in this class where you're thinking, okay, maybe the Giants go after Seager or Story or Baez or Correa, one of these top-line guys, which would say, okay, they've got Marco Luciano coming up. You don't need Brandon Crawford anymore, and now he's outperforming all of these guys. So is it sustainable? Will it continue? Probably not. For the next 5 years, is this just who he's going to be now? Is he a 25-30 homer a year guy? History would tell you probably not. That said, I think that there's a lot I think there could be a lot of positivity in bringing Crawford back, even if it's on a short-term deal. I'd imagine he would want to be here, even if he doesn't finish his career here. I think now the Giants are in a spot where you've got to make him an offer, and you've also got to look in-house and say, how close are we to having Luciano up? How close are we to getting some of these young middle infielders up that are going to be able to help us in the immediate future? Because if he can bridge the gap rather than spending that money, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, but they've got a lot of players to resign after this year. But if they can bridge the gap a little bit longer with Brandon Crawford and he continues to perform like this, I'm not sure there's anything wrong with that.
You know what, Adam, finishing up here today, you know, we saw on Peacock where Jimmy Rollins was interviewing Brandon Crawford, and you saw the size difference of little Jimmy Rollins compared to Brandon Crawford, and you really don't notice it until you see something like that. His size, his nature of the movement going left, right, front, back, it is just awesome to watch this guy play shortstop. Your final thoughts on Brandon Crawford?
Well, it is funny. He is kind of a bigger guy at the position, and you're right. Jimmy Rollins, a guy who had some pop, but he was a smaller dude. Crawford is built more like a third baseman, really, than a shortstop. And I mean, even Longoria, kind of a big guy, and maybe the hit that Brandon Crawford put on Evan Longoria would tell you just how big he is and how strong he is. But for a guy to have that type of mobility and to be as smart as he is and how he positions himself, how he stayed down on that ball the other day on the short hop at short to get the out at second, he's incredible, man. It's fun to watch every single day. And Andy Baggerly's the one who said it maybe a month ago now or 3.5 weeks ago. If you had never seen a baseball game in your life, if you'd never paid any attention to baseball, you decided to check it out and you decided to watch Giants baseball, for the last month, you'd probably think Brandon Crawford was the best baseball player of all time. It's really what he's doing every single day. It's must-watch TV. So it's exciting. It's exciting to have a guy in a ball game that you can turn on and say, what's he going to do today? And when guys have a glove and they have a bat, that's something you can see almost every day in a baseball season.
Adam Copeland, Kerry Crowley, thanks so much. We're going up to the booth next at Oracle Park with my good friend Mike Kruko, all on KNBR, the sport.